Hi, I'm Aman.
I'm Lena.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant. Sorry. We're
is our tagline
that.
Funny all of a sudden?
I don't know. It's been a really long day.
Yeah, so I hear you on that one.
Yeah.
Anywho,
what are we talking about today, Aman?
Today, I guess it's fair to say we're going a little bit off geek, a little.
Yeah.
In a sense. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just recently watched a show that was developed and at least executive produced by Taika Waititi.
I think you did it right the second time. Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm just going to, that
he's
guy.
He's the guy who directed Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. And
what's the character he plays in Korg?
Korg. Yeah. And also, for those who have forgotten, Green Lantern fame.
Huh?
He played the guy in the chair in the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie.
He was in the Green Lantern movie?
He had a pretty major role in the Green Lantern movie.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And he also makes this show called What We Do in the Shadows, which is like the ultimate low-budget vampire movie.
Mm-hmm. I have heard so much about that.
And directed a couple episodes of The Mandalorian, which were awesome.
Yeah, he's a very multifaceted, skilled man.
He is. And more recently, becoming more and more prolific, which is wonderful because he's very talented. Mm-hmm. But so anyways, this show that we're discussing is called Reservation Dogs, not to be confused with Reservoir Dogs, which is a Quentin Tarantino movie, but Reservation Dogs, which is about four kids who live in a Indian reservation in Oklahoma. And, at first I thought there was going to be more comedy. But really, it is exploring the what's the term? The human experience.
It's like a coming of age story.
But in an Indian reservation and really dealing with a lot of the realities there, including some very deep topics like suicide. Mm-hmm. The entire adventure of this show starts off with these four friends, one of their compatriots having died a year earlier.
Compatriots.
And, it really just...
Such a geek.
I am such a geek.
Oh my, please meet my compatriot.
We're literally doing a show called Grounded Geeks, Lena. Yeah, so
you don't have to take it that literally. God.
Anywho, onto the serious note that I was talking about, suicide is actually a very big issue in a lot of different Native American reservations. And right from the get-go, this show just makes it clear that they are talking about real life as it happens in Indian reservations, which I appreciated, even though there was less comedy in here than I was expecting.
There was actually more comedy than I was expecting.
Oh, okay.
Because I went into it thinking it was going to be super duper serious, but there's a lot of dark comedy. And I'm gonna link to this in the show notes. I don't know if I sent this to you, Aman, but there is an article in Time Magazine that the actress who plays Alora in the show, she wrote an article talking about how this show covers this crucial topic of how high suicide rates are in Indigenous communities. So it's really interesting just reading that article from her perspective and all that. So I totally, and she was saying that at some point in the article, she mentions also that humor is actually really important too when it comes to Indigenous communities, because that is how they have dealt with a lot of the shit oppression that has been dealt to their communities for centuries now, and that was like very important for them as they were creating the show and all that to have that in there as well. So I thought that was really interesting too.
The comedy is very very dark.
Yeah. I mean, some parts I was really just cracking up a lot. Like anytime those twins on their bikes came out. I love them. They were awesome.
Oh, they're hilarious.
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
The police officer too cracked me up so much. Oh,
Big? Yeah. He was funny. So funny. He was real. Okay, I take that back. This show was pretty funny. I guess the darker themes just overwhelmed me.
There's a lot to think about on the show. What's awesome is, and what I really liked, there's four friends. I started off the show thinking that the one guy out of the friends, whose name is Bear, which is an awesome name, by the way, I thought Bear was going to be the main character, and I thought it was just pretty much going to be all around him. And like, it is a little bit more like about him than the rest.
Yes.
But each of the other friends gets their own kind of solo episode. Where you get to, and it's not like here is this person's origin story. It's like a vignette from one, like some things, event that's happening in their life. So Alora's episode is about her taking her driver's test. Willie Jack's episode is about she's my favorite character, by the way.
I also love her name. Her name is Willie Jack. So like, it's amazing.
Yeah. Her episode is about her going hunting with her dad. And I love that. That was really good. That was really nice. I liked seeing that relationship, like father-daughter relationship. And the last friend, his name is Cheese, which is great. Also, his episode is about him going on a ride along with the police officer, Big. And like his adventures on that. So it's just really well done. And you touch on so many different themes. So not just like, you know, something as dark as suicide, but also you touch on this father-daughter relationship. You talk about when the ride along episode with Big, we learn about how their tribal cops really have like zero resources compared to other cops in other parts of the US, you know?
Zero resources and zero respect.
Yeah.
In many ways, in general, I feel like many police departments are underfunded, especially for the amount of work that is expected of them, not just being cops, but also being, you know, mediators in domestic disputes, dealing with, you know, things that you would actually expect social services to be dealing with, you know? So, I mean, in that sense, cops are very under-resourced and under-trained. Mm-hmm. And in this show, you see it's even worse for tribal cops. And they're called tribal cops because the Native American reservations are, in a sense, technically sovereign nations separate from the United States. Mm-hmm. I think that's something important for people to keep in mind, you know?
Yeah, I don't, like, people do not know that. I only learned like 5 years ago or something, the Navajo Nation, for example, literally has their own presidential elections.
Yes, and they do.
Yeah, you know, like they're, like you said, they're their own sovereign territories. And
They get a lot of help from the federal government, mostly because they're as they fucking should.
Yeah.
Considering how America and, you know, how we as a country have treated them and how economically cut off they are from any sort of real resources to be able to build a self-sustaining economy as one would expect of a sovereign, one would expect a sovereign nation to have. So yeah, but legally they are their own I think that's important to keep in mind.
Yeah.
As we think about this.
And again, it was that sort of, you know, their lack of enough resources and all that. That was highlighted again in the episode where they're all at the health clinic being treated for various things. Yeah. And like, you know, it's just like, it's the waiting room alone is a mess. Trying to get anything treated is a mess. Even food, the cost of food in grocery stores costs more on reservations than it does in other parts of the US. It's literally like, it's pretty insane how different it is. And yet, you know, I don't know. Like they're here, we're all in technically the same geographical land area, and yet we're so separated from reservations. We don't know anything about what it's like to live on a reservation or to grow up in an indigenous community in the US, you know?
And I actually like that about this show. That's what it kind of really shows us, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a past episode, we talked about We Are Lady Parts, where it focused on this group of Muslim women who were all very different from each other. And we talked a lot about how it kind of shows a broader range of Muslims than rather than just having that one token character trying to represent, you know, a billion people. Mm-hmm. And in that same way, I appreciated the same thing about this show. Mm-hmm. I got a better sense of the different kinds, or at least a more holistic view of indigenous life. You know, you had crazy Uncle Brownie, you had a cop, you have, you know, these
Bear's
group of
mom.
Teenagers,
yeah.
Bear's mom, who's dealing with her set of problems.
Oh, her episode was hilarious too, by the way.
It was actually. Yeah, it was. Thank you for reminding me. That was another funny moment.
Yeah.
A funny episode that I completely forgot about.
Right.
Because I was so overwhelmed with the seriousness of the show. But, you know, like I felt like it gave me a more holistic view. And I really loved how they wove in Native spirituality and religion throughout the show.
Right.
And like wove it into the characters' lives in the same way that the rest of us may approach religion, where religion is woven into the fabric of our lives, you know?
Yeah.
I like that they highlighted that and showed that. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it was clearly, you know, like written by an indigenous person, this show, which was great. It flowed so well, you know, it felt very it felt really natural too, which is, and it's so easy to just tokenize these things, which is entirely what we've done with any indigenous characters in TV, film, et cetera. You know, it's always been this like stupid, like the entire movie Pocahontas. What the hell was that? What the hell was that? It was so bad. I remember.
Great music though.
Yeah, great music. But I mean, obviously, you know, we watched that movie as kids. One, because it was like, wow, finally there's a brown woman to watch. You know, I mean, we had Jasmine and then we had Pocahontas and that was it. I had like Barbie doll characters, whatever, of both Jasmine and Pocahontas because.
Oh, anyway, I did not know that.
I like that I had them. But then I remember in high school when I was like 16 or 17, one of my friends in high school was like, I've never seen Pocahontas. And I was like, oh my God, really? Like, we should watch it. And and I was like, how come you haven't seen it? And she's like, my mom actually just told me I'm not allowed to watch it because it's so, so historically inaccurate and offensive. And this is like a white friend and her telling me about her white mom who like protected her from really horrific stereotypes now. And then we did watch it together and we were like, wow, yeah, that is so bad. Wow. Really awful. So yeah.
I think one thing that I wanted to talk about when discussing reservation dogs was why we should all give a shit.
Yes.
You know, about learning and understanding Native American culture and life and all that fun stuff. Like, I think that one of the great, great disservices that our high schools our high school history books have done is that they don't show us how American life and government is actually a direct descendant of Native American life and government. The concepts of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness actually come from Native American culture. I saw this quote from Ben Franklin, where he said, no European, and I mean, this is going to be offensive, but you know, that's how they spoke back then. He said, no European who has tasted savage life can afterwards bear to live in our societies. During the age of, you know, where colonists were coming to the Americas, colonists integrating into indigenous tribes was actually a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the populations, like there's this whole myth of the town of Roanoke, you know, this village that just vanished overnight. Yeah, no, not so much a mystery. You know, within a few years, the various tribes that lived in that area,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, a lot of them started to look a lot more white.
Yeah.
And a lot of them all of a sudden started to speak perfect English.
Yeah.
Yeah. The village was just like, life is shit here. We're going to go live with the tribes.
Yeah. Because they actually know what they're doing and can.
And, you know, the entire concept of having freedom and liberty as a person and an inherent right to do and live as you wish.
Mm-hmm.
To live is actually something that we inherited from Native American culture,
mm-hmm.
not from the fucking Magna Carta or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Like the Magna Carta didn't give anybody any fucking rights. It just realigned the power dynamics between the king and, you know, the throne and like the dukes and shit, you know, like, mm-hmm. like it didn't do anything for the common person. People still lived as peasants in indentured servitude, et cetera, et cetera. Like these concepts that we live on that are the bedrock of American society come from Native Americans. You know, the whole Boston Tea Party?
Yeah.
And you know how it's depicted with like the, you know, the guys who are dumping the tea into the river, they're dressed in Native American garb.
Oh.
That wasn't realign your thinking here for a second. All right.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, dressing that way was not them wearing a disguise, and it was not them trying to make a mockery of Native American culture. It was a statement that they were making to the British, a statement where they were saying to the British, we are not members of the English monarch. We are Americans.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like they were trying to, that the dressing like that was a statement for them to make against the monarchy.
Yeah.
You know,
interesting.
I mean, and it goes.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
That, like, why didn't they fucking tell us this in high school?
You know, it's funny because when I talk to other friends who grew up in other parts of the US, like what their high school experience was like, we actually. In Michigan, we learned a lot more for some reason about Native Americans and Native American tribes than my other friends did in other parts of the US.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it still wasn't anywhere close to enough, you know?
Right.
But at least I think you and I can still name like 10 different Native American tribes, for example, right? I don't think other people in other parts of the US can. Okay, maybe not 10 for you, but
maybe not 10, but at least
I think I could name 10.
Okay. I'm going to say you've got a leg up on me on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I remember like the readings we had to do, a lot of it was, like it was about Native American tribes. I remember doing group projects on Native American tribes and like researching in at least in elementary school and middle school and all that. I think it goes down in high school.
Yeah, it definitely goes down in high school. That's when the brainwashing really starts, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, for example, the founding fathers sat in a room and came up with our form of government in the Constitution.
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah, no, fuck that, all right? Yeah. Our system of government, yes, there was a lot of negotiation involved between powers, between the federal government and the states, et cetera, but the broad overall structure, we actually got that from the Iroquois Confederacy. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That was a federalist system of tribes. And that's where we get our fucking system of government from, you know, like And just to prove my point, there was actually in 1987, a Senate resolution giving credit finally to the Iroquois Nation for their influence on our system of government.
I'm genuinely surprised that happened even in the 80s. Wow.
Yes, same here. But I did find it and we'll post it in our show notes. And this is, just to warn you, like a 300-page PDF, like source document. So we don't have to like read it, but, you know, like skimming through, seeing some of the notes in there, it's actually interesting because they had a lot of witnesses come in talking about the Iroquois Confederacy and the influence of Native American government and culture on modern American government and culture. You know, it's interesting, interesting tidbits.
Right.
Still don't recommend reading every single word of it because it is 300 plus pages long, but very, very interesting.
It's for the really deep geeks in our audience.
Yeah. Geeks crossing into the land of nerddom.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yes, that would be my short thesis on why you should give a shit.
I mean, besides just like, you know, being a good person and caring about your communities and fellow man, things like that.
Fellow man is overrated. No, we need to give people actual reasons to care.
God. Yeah. But anyway, we're also going to include a trailer to this show because like everyone should watch it. I think
it's provided fantastic
enough reasons. It's really well done. And it's not like anything else that you've seen on TV. Like it's not, I don't see any other shows focused only on indigenous characters and people and communities.
Yeah. So, yeah. Especially not in America.
No. Yeah. It's just not a thing, which is really kind of pathetic and sad. There's hardly any movies even. I mean, there are movies, but like,
you there's always gotta like, have that white protagonist who's got to ground the quote unquote audience.
Right. It's always like, whenever there is a movie about Native Americans, there's always a white character who is the main character, main protagonist.
Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah. I don't even know. I can't even remember the names now, but like
similar sins committed by the last samurai.
Yeah. Jeez. What was the one with, oh my God, why am I blanking on his name?
Where Johnny Depp played
Lone Ranger. Oh my God. Let's not even mention that. No, what is that actor's name? Something with wolves?
Running with Wolves?
No. Oh my God. This is going to, I can't even remember the actor's name. He's like the super famous actor. I'm sorry.
Harrison Ford?
Oh no. What happened to my computer? Hold on.
Harrison Ford, Daniel Day-Lewis, Tom Cruise, Mel Gibson.
Nope. You know what? My computer's messing up. Wait, hold on. I'm going to find this. I will edit the long spaces out in between. I don't even know. Oh, gosh. Something about wolves. Dances with Wolves with Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner.
Dances with
Have
Wolves.
Have you seen that movie? Oh, my God. Kevin Costner can act much better than he did in this movie. I'm sorry to say. Maybe this is blasphemous to say because it's like a classic movie or whatever. But he narrates throughout that movie and holy shit, it is so boring and monotonous. Oh my God. It was, yeah.
He did star in Waterworld as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
So Kevin Costner, you got your highs and your lows.
I was watching that movie with a friend and I think maybe like 40 minutes before it ended, she literally was like, I can't do this anymore, Lena. I can't. And she just got up and left. She was like, I can't. Like, I was like, that's fair. I'd support that. So I finished it because I'm really, you know, obsessive like that. Like I got to finish a movie if I start it, but unless it's really horrific. But yeah.
Reservation Dogs has been renewed for season 2 and they're expanding their all indigenous writers room.
Yes, I did hear that. Yes.
Yeah.
So great. And
yeah, something to look forward to.
About fucking time. All right.
Yes.
Well, that about wraps it up.
I think so too. We discussed everything from Quentin Tarantino to Kevin Costner to shitty high school American history.
Yeah. I like how you just started off leading with the two white people that we discussed, rather than this entire amazing show.
I mean, I'm just I'm just trying to demonstrate. We covered a gamut.
Yeah.
We covered a wide gamut.
From the Iroquois Confederacy to Kevin Costner. That would have been better.
You know what? You're right. Maybe you can edit out that part.
It's too late, am I?
Okay. All right, fine.
As always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.